The Running Won't Save You podcast is proudly sponsored by our friends at X-Miles. They're the one-stop pit stop nutrition shop for all of your nutritional needs. From Striker to Stroop Waffles, from Morton to Mountain Fuel, they've got it all down at X-Miles, and you don't even have to go to the shop. You can go onto their website, which is xmiles.co.uk, and order to your heart's content. And the best thing about X-Miles is they have this incredible build a nutrition plan feature, where basically you put in your race, you put in how far it is, how long you reckon it's going to take, how much you weigh, and it works out how many carbohydrates and calories you need before, during, and after. And you can basically add products to your list, and it will tell you exactly how many calories, carbohydrates, proteins, fats, sugars, fibres, salts, caffeines, potassium, sodiums you're getting, which makes life very fucking easy and stops you from having to read the tiny, tiny writing on the back of the packets. X-Miles have given us a discount code. It is 10%, which is actually quite a lot when you're ordering in bulk. And the best thing about this is you can do it as a kind of pick and mix. So you don't need to order 26,000 Morton gels to get free delivery. You can get basically a couple of them, a couple of Stroop waffles. I'm obsessed with Stroop waffles. A couple of bits of scratch, a couple of pH gels, whatever it is that you want to put in your bucket. Make a little delicious basket and then get it delivered free with that 10% discount, which is quite a lot when you are ordering in bulk. My cupboard currently looks like an X-Miles storeroom because I just really do like ordering things and getting loads of money off. So go to the X-Miles website, xmiles.co.uk, order what you need, put in the discount code RWSY10 for 10% off, and away you go. As you've probably realised, this podcast does contain swearing. It contains chats about mental health. It contains chats about sometimes about suicidal ideation. It's very, very honest, and it's definitely not the sort of thing you want to put on in the car during the school run. You have been warned. Let's crack on. Hello, and welcome to a very special episode of the Running Won't Save You podcast. Live now, but not live when you're listening to it, from Tennessee, which is in America. I'm here with a man I found in the woods. His name's Damien Hall.
Hi.
You okay?
Quite good, thank you.
I think the first thing we should do is go through what is on the table next to you. It's 8:01 or something like that in the morning. It's 9:01. What's on the table next to you where you've been sleeping?
Okay, we got some discarded pasta with vegan cheese on, some chocolate protein pudding, a little tub of fruit, big bag of vegan cheese, some unfinished Coca-Cola and some teas. I've been snacking.
And a tube of Volterra, which you weren't eating yet.
No.
So, Damien, have you taken part in a race called the Barclay Marathons, which some of you may or may not know about? I'm going to leave it to him to describe what it is. He'll do a better job. And it finished yesterday. The race finished with no finishers after 2 days. Was that a surprise to you?
No, that's what happened the year before as well. Oh. So since the Jasmine year, 24, they've added two significant climbs each loop. And in those 2 years, no one's got past three loops. So frankly, I think it's kind of impossible at the moment.
So what is, how would you describe the Barclay Marathons?
So much ouchy fun.
Someone that's never heard of it, because do you know what? Some people haven't heard of it.
Okay, so it's an unmarked course in the woods in Frozen Head State Park, Tennessee. It's very steep. Each loop is about 23, 24 miles, or a marathon, as Laz says, and possibly at the moment 15,000 foot of verts per loop. So two loops would be the same as UTMB. The terrain is, very steep, but also often very loose. So it's all woodland. It's brown leaves covering most things. Underneath can be just mud or lots of branches. So you know on the spine how after a while all you hear is sort of squelch, squelch,
yeah.
Squelch. All you hear here is swish, 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 swish of the leaves underfoot, which isn't too bad. But sometimes there's rock underneath. Sometimes there's old bits of mining equipment.
Sometimes there's escaped prisoners from Bushy State Penitentiary.
There probably are. It's very loose, unstable, treacherous. Sometimes you can bomb down a hill and go, well, that was great, that was fun. but other times you will trip, that you always get branches caught between your legs. Sometimes you grab a tree to sort of try and halt your fall, and the tree just comes out the ground in your hand. That's really common. Or the branch of the tree, you just go, oh, I'll just grab that. Whoa! It is quite frankly amazing there are not more injuries. Yeah, it's awful but amazing.
So, why you are literally covered in scratches, like you look like you've had a fight with a cat, but not as many as other people. Like what? Like all over your arms, all over your legs, on your back, everywhere. Like,
I've got a good bruise on my bum.
that's so good. So what? Why? How does it? You get into that state?
Oh, they're also saw briars, so you get these sort of tangly thorns. In a way, they get overplayed a bit in that they're not going to stop you, but sometimes they'll just you just get your feet caught in them. There are certain sections where you might get your head caught in them. They're not everywhere, but they're a bit of a nuisance too, so they scratch you up quite a lot. I guess I had longer sleeves on than most people for a lot of it.
Friend of the pod, Emma Stewart, who also took part in this absolute fucking monstrosity of a race, she said that she was getting, because she would get caught in them and they'd like drag her back, like her hair would get caught and they would just like drag her back and then she'd have to sort of untangle yourself. I did mention my idea previously of you taking some saccateurs with you. Do you think that would be a good idea?
That's a good idea, yeah. Let's
Fucking
not
good
do that
idea.
next time. Oh, just for those who hadn't heard, so yeah, it's unmarked.
I was about to say, so you're given a GPX, right? And you're allowed to wear your watch.
So there's no, you're not allowed any electrical items. The map, the route is revealed the day before, and there's a master map laid out when you register. No mandatory kit, which is brilliant. Actually, it makes me a tiny bit more cautious. Like I take most of the time, not always, most sometimes. Anyway, another discussion maybe. Then there's a map put on the table the day before, and you go and copy that onto your own map. Like you buy a map from the park and then you copy the route onto it. And to prove that you've done the proper route, you find books mostly hidden in tree crevices or under rocks at key points in the route. There are 15 the last few years. And you remove a page of the book corresponding with your bib number, and that's to prove that you did the correct route. Some of those are easy to find. Quite a few of them are quite confusing in the dark, for example, or under a rock when there are just rocks everywhere, or in a tree when there are trees everywhere. So you might actually hit the right point and still spend 10 minutes looking for, or much, much longer, or 2 hours.
But you're given instructions, written ones, aren't
So you're also given written
you?
instructions. Yes, they're semi-useful, but also quite misleading. They'll say things like, "You come to a high wall," which over there means rock, natural rock face. One way round is much easier than the other, and then it leaves it for you to sort of go and discover which way. Yeah, the instructions are helpful and unhelpful at the same time. Yes.
So you go around in circles, five circles. So how can it be? I don't understand how if you go around in one circle, you find the books, then you can't find them on the next one.
Well, because each loop, you're allowed 12 hours for each loop. Nearly always it's one loop in the daylight, one in the dark. So it can look very different. Sometimes they send you around clockwise, sometimes counterclockwise. So it can suddenly look very different. So it's a real test of navigation skills. Sometimes if you get it right, you land bang on the book, like you follow a bearing down a very, very steep hill where this year you're sort of just partly sliding down it because it was a bit wet. If you get that bearing just right and land there, you might go, right, there's the book, brilliant. If you're a bit off, then often it's like, well, am I off to the north or the south? So you're scurrying around trying to double check. If you're in maybe a little group, then maybe it's a bit easier. There's nearly always a book or two that causes some time, let's
When you
say.
say on a bearing, like what do you mean? Like for people that don't know.
So one of the bearings to one book I remember is like 65 degrees. So you need to leave a ridge at a certain tree, ideally, a certain point, a really key point, or there'll be a bit of old fence.
And how do you know that?
Well, that's a good question. So that's when research comes into it. So obviously, if you've done it before, it does change most years, but if you've done it before, you've got a lot of intel. And that's why, not many people finish on the first go. There's certain research you can do online, and some people might help you. Some Barclay, you've got virgins and veterans. Some veterans might help you more than others, but really, there's a feeling that a virgin isn't shown the map of the route beforehand. So yeah, it's not designed to be super helpful.
It's so fucking hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I've watched you train for this and I've watched, like, slack-jawed because it is so fucking hard. Like, even though you've done it, what's this, your third, fourth time? Third?
Third.
Like, you've got intel, you've obviously got your mates who live over here, and but still, it's like map compass, writing down, like, not just like a little bit of map and compass, it's fucking hardcore, isn't it?
Most of us write down all the bearings in advance to try and save time. So we've got a map, we've got marked up, you know, sort of say 65 to use that same example, down to the f well, I probably shouldn't say the book, but down to a particular book, and then you want the back bearing the opposite way back up. But then either in your head or in your notes, you've got like, yeah, what are you looking for to yeah, from where do you take that bearing? And then you get very tired, you get very confused, you're sliding down a slope, you get the bearing off a bit. And the skill actually is, so what I've realized is mistakes happen, you know, even people have done it many, many times, they make little mistakes, but they spot them sooner and correct them sooner. And certainly in the past, my big thing has been, I guess I've let little mistakes become big mistakes, as in taking an hour maybe to find a book, rather than 10 or 15 minutes, at times. But yes.
So somebody described, I think someone took 27 hours to do one loop this year, right?
Okay.
And they described the mud as like it was greased, like the mud was greased. They'd never had mud like it. It was like it was someone had thrown oil on it, and it was like you couldn't get a grip on it. Like, is it how is that terrain different to UK terrain? And what do you think is the best comparison? Because I couldn't. I went out to Rapjaw. Obviously, I went up the deep track and or whatever it's called, Quitters Road, whatever it's called. And I was like, this is fine. This is just fine. And it reminded me a little bit of bits of the lakes or maybe bits of the New Forest because there's lots of big trees. But like. Literally, we saw the front page of the brochure, which is Rapture, whereas we didn't see in the brochure because we're not allowed on the course. So, what do you think in the UK is most comparable?
Retro itself is the only other place outside camp that's allowed to be photographed or videoed from. So most people who have some passing interest in the Barclay may have seen, but that is A, really easy navigationally because you follow the power lines, and B, it's not actually very steep. It's really steep just around the corner, just before the cameras are there. And yeah, this year, previous 2 years, I've been pretty lucky with the weather and it's quite dry. This year, yeah, it rained, not like super heavily, but for many hours. And it made it, yeah, super slippery and greasy. I honestly, there isn't a terrain like it in the UK, is the truth of it. Just the steepness and how loose it all is. So there were times where I was hanging, I'd have two hands on little tree roots above me, and my knees like digging into the side of the hill to try and not slide further down. And you're digging in, yeah, digging your knees in, digging the poles in. If you go without poles, you're mad. And yeah, you're using every part of your body to try and stick to the terrain sometimes.
God, I wish I could take a photo
It's
of that.
yeah.
Right, so talk us through your race. Oh, this is most people, I'd never say that to anyone because it's fucking boring, but your race is interesting. So talk us through it.
Well, the first thing was,
Don't forget how brilliant your crew was. Don't forget to include that.
I had an amazing crew, thankfully.
Yeah.
Actually, Ali, you were brilliant. Thank you
Thank
so
you.
much. You did
Thank you.
so much for me beforehand, especially, and during, and even now afterwards, where I'm whinging about, we haven't got stairs, have we? We've got like a ladder where I was
We're in
staying.
the roof, in the attic, and it got a fucking ladder. That's not even ladder at an angle. It's a straight up ladder.
I'm not very quick or unmoany going up and down the ladder. Well, first thing, so the Jasmine year 2024, there were five finishers, so I think they clearly felt okay, that'll do, and they added. Last year, they added two more climbs to each loop. No one got onto a fourth loop. And then this year, I think nearly all of us were saying, well, they've got a. Re so no one, yeah, no one finished last year. They were
There
thinking.
was like really positive vibes before. We went for some dinner before, didn't we? Some Mexican, and it was like there was hope. There was so much hope. There was hope in
Well, if you
them.
remember, though, Jody wasn't that optimistic.
No, Jodie was the only one that wasn't, but we had like, oh,
Naivety.
we
Naive.
went to dinner at the Kelly's farm and for a Mexican. There was a lot of like woohoo in the air, wasn't there?
Naive hope,
Yeah.
yes. Because I think, well, I expected them to reduce the course in some way, not, you know, not to make it easy. Well, it's never going to be easy, but I expected a reduction. What they often do is like a significant reduction, and then they'll add a little something. So they'll like take away, you know, j just to And there was nothing. It was literally the same
Didn't
course.
say before that he'd made a change that might make the navigation harder but the course easier.
So there is a closed Facebook group. When you get into the race, you're admitted to this Facebook group, and Laz and increasingly now Carl, who actually runs the show now, they will put deliberately ambiguous and kind of deliberately unsettling comments in there sometimes, like, the new course. And actually, there was a tiny bit of new course because actually we weren't in the original Yellowgate campground because it's being renovated, so we were just across the river from. We could see it, so it wasn't a big change really. And the navigational element from, basically sort of 50 meters away wasn't too demanding. But yeah, it was the same course. It was the same that no one's ever finished. So I was, if I'm honest, I was trying really hard not to be deflated because I was like, this is probably impossible. And yeah, off we set. So the conch went at, was it 5 in the morning?
Lovely time for conch to go.
And that means you start at 6, bang on, I think, was it? And there was a new tiny little yellow gate we're all squashed behind. And they showed us that when we come finish the loop, we weren't allowed to use the bridge. There's a perfectly good bridge to get to the campsite. We weren't allowed to use
Was
it.
actually very slippery, that bridge. I think it was better going through the
Was
water.
it? And off we went. And I quite quickly joined in with some of my French friends, including Sebastian Raichon, who won the Spine race this year and who I've been out on the Spine with before. Sorry, the Barclay. And some other French guys with a lot of experience, Aurélien
You've got
Sanchez.
like Matthew Blanchard, who's won UTMB, people like that.
I think he's second, wasn't he? Has he won it?
Or second, I don't know.
Maybe.
But he's
Yeah.
like an absolute machine, isn't he?
Yeah, and he was, you could see athletically, he was the strongest early on.
His nickname was Chiseled Jaw Guy.
Oh, wow. And Aurélien Sanchez, who's finished it before, and Guilhem Calamates, who has been out here, this was his sixth time. So really experienced French guys. So I stuck with them for the first loop. I think it was largely uneventful. We had some coyotes in the night. But yeah, the two new climbs. One of them is a reintroduced climb, so Leonard's Butt Slide, as you can imagine. Quite steep and muddy, especially for people called Leonard.
Did you do a
And
butt slide down it?
but
Or did you have to go up it? Did you have to go up Leonard's butthole?
this time we did slide down. It wasn't, yeah, it
You slid
wasn't.
down it this time.
Yeah.
Did you have to go up it?
Yeah, other loops. And then, yeah, a new climb right at the end, which was pretty grueling and rocky. And so previous Barclays, I've done the first loop in about, I've definitely done one in 8:17. Like your first loop's normally your quickest, 8:17. This took me was it 9:47? So that's the sort of difference we're talking about. So if you extrapolate that out per loop, there simply isn't time
I think someone worked out you had to make 5 hours come from nowhere.
So first loop, I think largely uneventful. I'm trying to remember now. Even now it's
You
a
came
bit.
in and your wrists were absolutely dripping in blood. We were trying not to like comment on it because it was like some sort of horror film. They were just dripping in blood and I didn't have any wet wipes. So you just said to let them drip in blood. What was going on there?
They must have just caught them on a sawbriar.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember one. Yeah, I
Yeah,
remember one of them.
we got some great photos.
Good. And I took my shoes off. I thought because my feet had stayed largely dry, and to cross the river, I took paused and took my
Oh,
shoes off.
I'm starting to right. So when you were crossing that river, Carl put up a yellow rope, like a safety rope, and Laz was like, "Take that down. We're not having that rope
Not
us."
Western
He
States.
literally was like, "Take it down." So he made him take it down so you didn't have a handrail. But it was all right that way. It was shallow, wasn't it? It's just slippery.
Yeah, but I thought there's no point in. I wanted to wear these same shoes. I had normal brutes, fittingly titled, called brutes, and I thought there's no point in getting these soaking wet. Like, yeah, I mean, you're asking for blisters if your feet are wet.
Why aren't you wearing waterproof sock?
It was too warm, really. It wasn't. It
Okay.
wasn't that cold, was it?
No, it was really lovely on the
It was
first
sort of one
day.
base
It was
layer.
lovely. I mean, we went up Rapjaw. It was beautiful. It was blue sky, it was sun. I was like, this is so nice. But then I looked at my watch and it was -1. And you didn't realize because
Oh.
the sun was on you, but it was -1 up there.
Okay.
Yeah. So you were moving, so you felt warm, but we were really cold up
Well,
there.
I had a merino long sleeve and a pair of tights, and I was a bit too warm sometimes, but they're working quite hard.
Spoiler alert, that will change.
Well, it's already a bit hazy, even though it was yesterday. So I think that first loop was uneventful. Did five of us come in together? So I think it was the.
You were like running down that hill like you'd just done a park run. You know, like you all looked super confident, but everybody was commenting on how you looked the most confident. Everybody,
Confident.
like when you were calm and you just looked really confident.
Okay. Well, I always love coming back to camp and seeing friends and ace crew people. So it always gives me a bit of a boost. So yeah, that was good. I mean, and getting a first loop done is very satisfying. You know, you've but it was already yet, and it was 10 hours by the time we left. It was already 10 hours. You're
Yeah,
allowed 12
you were
hours.
quick though. You did like a
Yeah,
quick,
5 to 10 minutes.
yeah,
Yeah.
10 minute turnaround.
But that's already 10 hours, and I'm like, and then you're out into a nighttime loop, which is nearly always 2 hours longer.
Yeah.
And you're only allowed 12 hours, so that leaves almost nothing sort of in the bank. I know it sounds like there's something in the bank, but you just, as you get tired, as you go in the dark, you just overshoot a book, or you don't quite keep track of the bearing, or it just looks different. You know, so many books are like under a rock in a tree, 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, 5 minutes, and suddenly all your little buffer has evaporated.
Yeah, if you go down a hill, going up the hill takes 45 minutes, right? It doesn't take 10 minutes.
No. So well, I've done that second loop.
You went out. You had your little waist torch on. You were worried it would be foggy.
Yeah, that's a new thing for me. I quite liked that. And
And you were doing two
unusually,
loops the same way, weren't you? It was different this
yeah, this
year.
was a historic change. The first time ever we went out counterclockwise, for the first loop, which has never happened before, and then the second loop as well, which is actually quite helpful because it's a bit fresher in your mind. And counterclockwise is generally seen as tougher, both a bit navigationally and but also some of the worst climbs and towards the end of it. So it's quite nice to get them done. And I
Do you
think
think
we,
that helped you on the second loop?
yeah, I quite liked that. Yeah, because
Did you still have the French with you?
So I think most of that loop is just the three of us, maybe Sebastian and me, Sebastian Rachon and Mathieu
Matthew
Blanchard.
Blanchard.
I think it was just the three of us most of the time. There was a guy called Andreas who was Latvian, but lived in Spain, had a top knot. He was with us, but in the middle of the night, he said, he just went, I'm
I
done.
don't think that person existed. I have not met them, and I don't know who he's talking about.
He just said, I'm done. I'm going back to camp from here. And I was like, I tried to talk him around, and I was just saying, well, give it a bit more time. If you do two or three loops, you're more chance of getting in again. And he was just like, no, I'm done. Off he went. I thought he was quite strong. Good navigation.
Was he the one with the unicorn top that we met at the thingy? Oh, he was
No.
American.
But then also Max King from the USA.
Oh, yeah.
He's about my age, but he's been a super fast athlete.
Oh, yeah, he's ripped as well. He's just like got his arms are
I
mad.
wasn't really looking at him in that way,
Oh,
Ali.
sat crewing. I had nothing else to look at, but his arms were just, he was like a little action man figure.
Well, he was great company, and he was with us most of that loop, but he faded towards the end. So by the time we came back to camp, it's the three of us. We come in the night now, didn't we?
You came in on lap number two. You came in at 2 o'clock in the, no, you came in at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
Three, yeah, about three, half past three, 4 o'clock.
Also, we don't know what the time is really, because we're given watches that basically have a just a, they just count up to 24 hours and then go back to zero and count up 24 hours. I mean, you can work it out, but that's more relevant to us than the time of day. So, yeah, came in.
You came in at about four because you left at four. You left just before five, so I think you probably came about 20 past 4. Maybe not.
I
I don't
wouldn't have
know.
been in for 40 minutes.
But you don't. Yeah, you're only in for 10 minutes. Maybe it was later than that. I completely lost track of time. And on Rapture, I thought that John Kelly was 20 minutes behind you. When I looked at my photos, he was 4 minutes behind you. Like
Oh,
time just
okay.
vanished.
Yeah.
But you left. I know from the photo I took of you leaving on lap three, where you decided to do a whole lap with no shoes on, that you left just before five.
Okay, so we went out to loop three, so that's going clockwise. So yeah, straight into the river. So you've got changed, you've had something to eat again. But I think we're only 10 minutes, but you've put fresh socks on, fresh shoes, and then they're like, right, you've got to go straight for the river. So I was like, well, I don't want to have wet feet all that time. So I grabbed my, I'd switched to my Tommy ears by now, but yeah, I splashed through the river barefoot. Some of the other guys just put plastic bags on their shoes. But I said to Carl, am I the first person in Barclay history to go out barefoot? And he said, I think you probably are.
And that sparked off an internet rumor which spread like wildfire that your shoes had been absolutely destroyed in the first two loops, and now you were going to do a third loop barefoot, which is quite Partridge. And people, we had BBC news reporters messaging us to say, is this true? Is he doing a loop with no shoes on? And obviously, we're not saying anything to anyone, so we just kept quiet. For all we know, you could be a BBC news story. But there's nothing wrong with your shoes. They're great shoes, aren't
No, yeah,
they?
both pairs are really good, really aggressive grip. But yeah, I just didn't want to have wet feet any longer than I needed to. And you can sort of just about get round with dry feet if you're careful.
Not on a loop through yesterday. Not in that rain.
No, that was a bit different. But
Yeah.
and that makes a big difference because foot care is important. But so I think the three of us left.
You left first, you like snuck out, and then like the French were in the shelter, and then they like suddenly there was like a rumble from the
Really?
shelter, and they all came. They had like this massive media team, and Sebastian and Matthew came running down, and it was like they were like, he has gone without us. But you were
Really?
sat on the other side in the playground putting your shoes and socks on, weren't
Yeah,
you?
yeah.
So one of the French media told me you took 15 minutes to do that.
That's not true.
No,
It
I
can't be
didn't think
true.
it was. But did they come? Did you pick them up on the other side of the river and run with them?
Yeah. Yeah, and I wasn't trying to get away from them because definitely Sebastian's really good at navigation. I'm very happy to be in his company. I've known him for years now, and he used to be called Back to the Future Hare in previous years. We'll ask how it's going with Keith Dunn in the meantime in a minute. But so out to loop three. I think we're doing all right for time, but it's tight by now.
Yeah,
Like it's
you've got
tight.
5 minutes in the bank, all of you.
Okay. Yeah, it's just not much in the dark for a dark. And I think we're going to, yeah, we've got 2 or 3 hours in the dark, haven't we?
It was going to rain, wasn't it? You knew it was going to rain. It was going to
Yeah.
rain very heavily overnight, but it sort of spread itself out, so it was all day the next day.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll give 2 or 3 hours. And then Matthew and Sebastian were discussing quite intently in French some things, and I could hear them talking about bits of the
I
course.
think that's probably how to get rid of you.
Well, and then Matthew off he shot. So he was going to push on, and then but Sebastian said, "If you want to push on, push on. If you're feeling good." So I did a bit on the next climb or two. I did sort of, but I was in. I'm not like it's never felt like a race to me. Like I don't care what. Well, I do care what other people do, but I'm not. I don't care if someone finishes above
Yeah,
me.
but it's not a race, is it?
No. It's just can you possibly finish this thing?
Yeah.
So I didn't. I didn't care. I'm not going to chase him. I just want to get to the books as efficiently as possible. But I also thought, my weakness in this is the navigation, and I need practice on my own of doing getting the books on my own. So I thought, actually, I will push on a bit and just give me the safety net. So if I do cock one of them up, Sebastian's not far behind me. So I pushed on up Hillpocalypse. Actually, I got the book before that. I know that one quite well. I got that one. And that's what I tried to do in the night as well. Tried to sometimes lead to books because the danger I've had in the past is I've almost, not danger, but I've fallen into the trap of letting the more experienced people just lead to the books who know the course, and then I'm
That's what
not
I
really
do.
learning.
That's what I do.
Well, it's all right for a loop or two, but when you're on your own,
Yeah.
have you learned enough? So I pushed up Hillpocalypse, got the next couple of books, but then I did misjudge one from a long slippery descent down in Rusty Spoon, and he must have gone past me there because it's a deep.
He did go past you at Rusty Spoon. He told us when he got in because we were like, where is he? What have we done
Okay.
with him? And he said he went past you at Rusty
Because you can
Spoon.
tell if their page is gone in the book or not, so you know whether they've gone past you or not, so you would have noticed mine was still there. And it's kind of like a quite steep gorge, and you follow the river up or down, and if you miss the book, of course, is it north or south? So I'd gone up the river north to check it out, and then back south, and then found it, but by that stage he'd gone through. And then you're climbing up Guinea Hill, which is the one Emma Stewart is remembering so fondly. And yeah, I was quite pleased with how it's going, and I was getting the books, and I was thinking, I'm learning here, and I'm a bit slower than Sebastian because he's just so precise, but I'm getting the books myself. But really, I was getting wet. I'd been wet for a long time, and I was all right when I was. It was a bit like my three solo that when you're powering up a hill, you got enough warmth and you're all right. But when you're paused to try and get the books, you're getting cold quite quickly. And for the first time ever as well, for me, I finally met the infamous frozen head fog.
It's nuts, that fog.
It's cold, isn't it? And it's
It's
thick.
cold and it's thick, and then but then suddenly you turn around, it's gone, and then you look behind you and it's gone. It's like, was it even fucking there in the first place? And then you look back to where it wasn't, and it's there. It's mad.
It was raining, as I say, not heavily, but persistently for hours, and sleet as well. So, and I, the truth is, I hadn't taken enough kit out really.
it is part of it. And I guess I was thinking, and food. So I was thinking, like, I guess I was hoping to do a 10-hour loop, and it ends up being sort of 14, 15 hours. And yeah, so I'm out of food. I don't have any more layers to put on. I'm all right when I'm moving, but if you're like, you don't hit the book precisely, you're looking around. And basically, I was down. This is the same place that Matthew Blanchard, ahead of me, he decided he'd had enough in the same place. It's by the Barley Mouth. I don't know if I meant to say these things, but
That means nothing to anybody.
okay. Well, you look at the
It's
map.
by Jim's Left Elbow knee, because that's what
No,
they call these fucking places.
but
Or Knob. Everything's called Knob.
there are quite a few knobs out there.
This place is crawling with knobs.
It's basically another steep ravine, really, or a very steep valley. Very steep and deep, and there were two strong rivers down there, and it just seemed to trap the cold down there. And yeah, there's a book down the bottom, and yeah, it's funny that both of us in the same place at different time. I guess I was probably an hour behind him or something. Both were like, well, "That'll do. I'm too cold," you know. And it's very remote; like, no one knows where we are. We're on slippery rocks, you know,
There is
and.
no medical team. There is literally no tracking. There is no one's going to help you. And I think if something did happen, it would take a very long time for anyone to find you, because you're not on the route, really, are you? There's no.
Well, what they can do is can go and check the books to see where your pages,
It's going to take
like,
them fucking hours. You'll be dead by then.
and apparently, so this is, I don't know, 3, 4 in the afternoon probably for me, 3, 4, 5 probably. One of our friends did ask the team, like, when would you send a search party, and they said, oh, not till the morning. I mean.
We went up to Rapture to wait for them. We saw Sebastian. We got up to Rapture at 1 o'clock. We waited there for 5 hours. Well, 4 hours, because it's a walk, a 1 hour walk up, a 1 hour walk back. And I was wearing three pairs of waterproof trousers. I was wearing five layers and a two waterproof jacket, and I was fucking freezing. And on the walk up, I was boiling. And we were like, we were worn too many clothes. But then all of us, me, Emma, James, all of us were fucking freezing up there, and all the media teams were, and we didn't see you, and we had to leave the park because it was getting dark. And it was the only time I've ever not known where you are, ever. Like, because I can't phone you, you haven't got a phone, I can't track you, no one knows where you are. Literally, nobody on that fucking course knows where you are. No one. And that is scary and horrible.
Sorry about
It's
that.
fine, but I'm trying to explain to people how different it is from a normal race.
Yeah. And there's a whole rule. They're very proud about the self-extraction record. What they mean is anyone who decides to be out of the race needs to get back to camp on their own, you know, on their own 2 feet. And so they're not, it's a long time before they'll come looking for you.
And there's no like marshals. There's no, even at the water tower, there was no one there. Like, just me, Emma, Miller with his camera, and James. The only place you're allowed to spectate is there, isn't it? You can't say anything, you can't ask anything. So when Sebastian came through, it was silent, just his media team following him, no one saying anything. Couldn't even say to him, when was the last time you saw Damien?
Yeah.
Couldn't say hello, couldn't say well done. So when people are coming up Rapture, it's silent, and there's like 50 people standing there, no one's saying anything. It was horrible not knowing where you were, but that is part of it. But it's not something I really registered when I signed up for it, and I've never ever had that experience of having no way of knowing where someone is. You can't ask fucking Laz. You can't ask Carl. No one knows. No one fucking knows.
No. Well, you know, really, to be in the Barclay, you have to have a certain level of, I suppose, competence and experience.
Or stupidity, one of the two. They're quite closely linked, aren't they?
They are. So from there, yeah, maybe way back to camp, but you slow down. You know, once it's over, you slow down. It's getting dark. And I finally jogged my way into camp, feeling pretty deflated, actually. Like, you know, I didn't get a fun run. So if you do three loops, it's called a fun run, which I have done twice before. But this time, I'd stopped getting the pages. And so it doesn't count. So I'd come in quite, you know, quite deflated. But I know
Your hero's
it
welcome.
felt like hero's welcome. Everyone
Because
was
you were the
there,
last person in off the
and
course.
I had no idea. Yeah,
There's two of you left on that
I
loop.
assumed the other guys would have gone back out, you
No.
know, but they hadn't. Matthew Blanchard, exactly the same thing. He'd got cold, exactly the same place as me, and decided I think he said terrified, didn't he? I
Yeah,
think,
he said he
yeah.
was terrified.
So I wasn't terrified, but I was worried. And you know, he's a very accomplished athlete. Sebastian Rayshon, amazingly, only 4 or 5 weeks after winning the full winter spine, got three loops. He's 53.
He came in after the cut-off. He couldn't have gone out. He wouldn't have allowed out again.
Yes, yep. So he was the kind of, if it is a race, he's kind of the winner. So there's a nice, not a nice, yeah, it was a surprise. I was coming in feeling deflated, and people treat me really nicely. And you have a good bit of bants with Carl and Laz,
Who
and
played taps for you in the end?
John Kelly got into his head that because he can play taps, which out here is quite a sentimental, actually. It's like our, what do we play at November
They're
the
like
11th?
supposed to,
Yeah,
yeah.
it's their equivalent. So you're meant to like take your hat off, and it's to remember the dead, actually. So yeah, John was very keen. That was my motivation. He told me before the race that, if I did not finish five loops, he would play taps for me. Obviously, well, yeah, me and him have a reasonable history.
Played taps for himself.
Yeah, that's a
He
strange one.
knocked himself out by playing taps for himself. Do you know what? He was so good at it. It's like, is there anything he can't fucking do? Oh yeah, he can't do more laps at Barclay than you this year. Sorry, John.
yeah, but it yeah, and it's very cool, and then you hang around for a little bit of time feeling broken, but yeah, everyone just exchanging stories, and there's a reasonable British contingent, not as big as the French, but
God, the French contingent, there was like 20 of them, including media. They were fucking everywhere.
yeah. But anyway, tell us about your version, because you were hanging out with the legendary Keith Dunn.
Me and Keith are best friends now. I think I wouldn't go as far as saying I've replaced the Bishop of Newcastle in his affections, but I think I'm up there with her. He freaking loves the Bishop of Newcastle. So I'll be really quick because it's actually not boring, it's really interesting. But the crewing element of it was really different from normal crewing because you don't know where you are or when you're going to come in. You've got
Yeah.
fucking no idea. So if you want something warm or, well, whatever you want, it's like, when do you get it out? It's, you know, the weather's gonna be like, so you can't get it out. Where are you gonna sit this person? You've got 10 minutes. So with food, but you're all right because you came in and you didn't want hot food. So we cooked everything the night before, didn't we? Your potatoes and pasta and
Yeah.
stuff. And then the hard bit was when you came in the morning at like 2. I got up at 2. I probably had like 4 hours sleep. And I got up at 2 and to make you porridge because I just didn't know when you were coming in. But then you have to kind of try and keep it warm because
Yeah.
but you don't fucking know when you're gonna come in. It was pissing with rain, so I was in the shelter. It was just really difficult, but I think it all worked out all right, didn't it? And it was a really interesting experience, and I met some really nice people. And there was a lot. You think you'll have loads of time to like hang around, but actually I didn't because I was running up and down the hill to try and see you and go to Sonic and get you Tato Tots and drink coffee and
Thanks.
keep dry and looking out for Emma as well. We were worried about Emma because she didn't come until late off the first loop. But what was really interesting is like you'd expect someone like John to be able to just fucking do it because it's his, he's done it so many times and it's his backyard and but he gets lost as well.
Yeah.
He was telling us he got lost. He got lost at this confluence and he had a different compass to the one he'd been training with that had the opposite colours on it. So he thought he was going south, but
Oh
absolutely he was going
no.
north. And he, but it's like how do you not know? Like you've done it so many times, but it's not like that. It's just so difficult to explain to people how hard it is. And so many people have said, like said to me, would you do it? And I'm like, I can't. It's not, would you want to do it? It's like, I can't do it. I can't fucking do it. I think maybe in a couple of years I could look at doing the full classic as a sort of a not navigation experiment, but I'm not qualified for that. And I'm certainly not qualified for that terrain. And I'm certainly not qualified for, you know, that level of confidence of being out by yourself in a place you have where you have no idea. And it's just the fog was unreal. The minute it came down, you couldn't see shit, and then suddenly it would vanish and you'd be in a different place. It was, yeah, it's just so hard to explain, isn't
Yeah.
it? I went to the prison and did a tour.
Oh, yeah.
I went
Tell
on
us
the
about
prison
that.
tour. I went to Bushy State Penitentiary. It was one of the worst prisons in America. The Birdman of Alcatraz was kept in there. That was so good. And we watched Keith, not Keith, we watched Carl put the first book down and just hung out with Keith for a while, talking about nicknames.
Hee.
I didn't get a nickname.
Oh,
Your
yeah.
nickname was the Pathfinder. Do you know why?
No.
Because you couldn't find the path.
Well, that's not true.
Well, that's what Keith said.
Where did you get that from? He was at Campbell the
I
time.
thought you were old, the old guy, but that was Sebastian Michel.
Oh, okay. He's debating afterwards, wasn't he, whether to stick with the same nicknames? I think he should, because Back to the Future guy, like, that's
No,
great. I'm actually there.
you only like it because you're the Pathfinder.
I prefer being Mohawk guy
Okay.
or guy with Mohawk.
Yeah.
I've run out of energy now. I'm
Okay, he's gone. Thanks very much
tired.
for helping us to understand the horror that is the Barclay. We'll be back next week or sometime. No, probably, I don't know, before the end of February, the new series. The series thing is called Process. We're going to do a series on process. Amy's going to go back to bed now, and I'm going to probably go for a run.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening to the Running Won't Save You podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, would you mind nipping to Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get your pods, and just leaving us a review, but also hitting that subscribe button? God, I hate saying that, but it really does help us with our numbers, and that helps us to attract better sponsors, and that means that we can do this more often. So if you can do that, we will be very grateful. We are on Instagram, it's at Running Won't Save You Pod. And just a quick shout out to some people who I personally support and would love for you guys to check out as well. They are the Green Runners. You can join the Green Runners, get yourself a patch and feel very smug. Pair Ups, who will fix shoes. They send you shoe fixing kits. Look them up on Instagram. Pre-Loved Sports, don't buy a new kit, you don't need it. The most sustainable kit you've got is the kit you're already wearing. So head to Pre-Loved Sports website and you'll be able to buy amazing kits super cheap. I bought a Montane Gecko vest the other week for like £30 and I wore it for the Dragon's Back. It was incredible. Into Ultra are a charity who work to make ultra running available to everybody, helping pay for coaching, helping pay for physio, helping pay for race entries. So go over and see what they're doing, see if you can help, see if you can donate. And finally, Reaction Collective, who are an incredible group of people who fix kit, who can recycle kit, and who generally have loads of information about how you can be a bit more of a sustainable runner. We will see you next week.